Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Stop. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. Come on. If you're grateful for His grace, if you're grateful for His love, if you're thankful for His mercy, come on, give Him a shout of praise. Come on. The King of Kings deserves the highest praise. The highest praise. Shiarabush. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in the heavens right now, the angels, the elders, the creatures are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In Revelation, it tells them that they never cease, they never stop praising God. They, night and day, they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In fact, I feel in my spirit we should ought to sing that today. And so if Hayden, I don't know if you got my text, but we're just going to sing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," Agnes Day. And just praise Him in this moment. Just praise Him right now. How many of us know that God inhabits the praise of His people? So why don't we just close our eyes and just start to pour out our love to Him. Holy.
Holy. Jesus. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy. Holy. Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, for you are holy. is a land. Worthy 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 is a land. Amen.
Praise. Give him the highest praise in this place. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Come on. Oh, Lord, it's a joy, oh God. It is a joy to praise you in this place today. Oh, Rabasi. And Lord, right now we just glorify you in this place. We honor you, oh Lord. We honor your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, dictate this service. We welcome you. We honor you. Saturate this place with your presence, oh Lord. We give this service to you. We give this day to you. We dedicate this day to you. We love you, Lord. Lord, it's such a joy. It is such a joy to praise you. It is such a joy to worship you. It's such a joy to say thank you. We thank you, oh God, for your love. We thank you, oh Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, oh God, for your grace, oh Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness, oh God. We thank you for your great love. A love so great that is greater than life itself. And Lord, I pray that today touch our hearts, oh God, as we open your word. Stir our faith, stir our hunger for you, Lord God. Let us come out of this place more hungrier and thirstier for your presence in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we give this day to you. We dedicate it to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say, amen, amen. Come on, give God some praise one last time. You may be seated. Thank you, church. Whew. Who loves worshiping? Who loves praising? How many of us know that we have to praise always? No matter what circumstance, no matter what season, praise always. Psalm 113 tells us that the name of the Lord is to be praised forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hey, welcome church to Sunday. Who's getting used to daylight savings? I'm struggling too. I'm really struggling. I don't know why they started it on the first day of term 4 of school. It's like, man, are you serious? At least give us some leeway, you know? Anyways, we're going to get into the word straight away. We're going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Should be on the screens behind me. And this story here is a very popular scripture. It's a famous scripture. And this story right here really stirred up my faith. And here we go, verse 14, starting from verse 14 should be. Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took the bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. So he drew it. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands and said, opened the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans, or in this version, the arrows of victory over Syria. You shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. Everybody say, strike the ground. Say it again. Strike the ground. And he struck three times, and he stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him. How many of us know it's good to have an angry pastor every now and then, or an angry prophet every now and then? I'm just kidding. And he said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you have made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. I want to speak to you from the title of Don't Stop at Three. Yeah. Don't stop at three. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't stop at three. Go to the other side and say, it's time to stir up your faith. Come on. Say it with conviction. It's time to stir up your faith. It's good. Now, in order to understand this text, I want to give us context of what's happening here. Now, Jehoash, or Joash here in this text, is the current king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Now, the state of Israel during this time, during this scripture, was now a divided nation. Israel was now a divided kingdom. There is now a south kingdom, which is Judah, and there is a north kingdom, which is Israel. And so the state of Israel was not the way it used to be under the leadership of King David. You see, under the leadership of King David, Israel was a united nation. Under the leadership of King David, Israel was a united kingdom under David's rule and reign. But it started going downhill when his son took over, King Solomon. How many of us know that story? But you see, for King Solomon, it wasn't all that bad. You see, in the beginning, Solomon started off right. He started off right because he loved the Lord. You want to start off right? Start by loving the Lord. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Can I just encourage us? If we want to grow in our Christian walk, we have to begin with loving the Lord. Yes. Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment, Jesus tells us that the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. To love the Lord your God with all your soul. To love the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your strength. In other words, to love the Lord your God with all of you, with all of you are. Because when you love the Lord your God, you are able to walk in His laws. You're able to walk in His commandments, and you're able to walk in obedience. In fact, John 14, 15 tells us this. If you love me, Jesus says. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey, you will keep my commandments. Can I just say, love must be the catalyst of what we do for the kingdom. Love must be the catalyst of what we do for God. And so for King Solomon, God was pleased with him. He was happy with Solomon because he loved the Lord. In fact, God was so pleased that in the beginning, God asked Solomon, hey man, what can I do for you? He encountered King Solomon in a dream. What can I do for you? What can I give you? And Solomon replied, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me discernment. Lord, give me understanding to lead your people well, to govern your people well, so that I may discern what is good and what is evil, so I may discern what is right and what is wrong. You see, Solomon did not ask for riches. Solomon did not ask for long life. He did not ask for his reign and his rule to last forever. He didn't ask for death for his enemies. Instead, he asked for something that pleased the Lord and not himself. Yeah. You see, Solomon was a good king. He was a wise leader and a true worshiper. In fact, Solomon built the house of the Lord, the Jerusalem temple, also known as Solomon's temple. And this temple was not only a place of worship, but this temple would be a place where God's presence would dwell in there. Oh, church, let us be a temple where God dwells in us. Let us be a vessel where we are full of His Spirit. Let us be a vessel where we are full of His presence. Amen. You see, Solomon started off right and he did many great things for the Lord, but then came his downfall. You see, Solomon loved all kinds of women. You see, Solomon loved them foreign women. He loved them women from other countries. He loved their accents and maybe their curly hairs, or maybe their red hairs or the blonde hairs. He loved them Moabites. He loved them Ammonites. He loved him some Edomites. He loved them Hittites, but he hated the Vegemites. That joke. I'm a dad, so I have to squeeze it in there. I'm sorry. I'm a dad. I gotta squeeze it in. Sweet is in there. But because Solomon loved so many foreign women and married many of them, not only foreign women came into his world, but also foreign gods. Can I just encourage us, be careful of what and who you put into your life. Be careful of what you put into your world. What we listen to, what we see, what we hear, where we go, who we hang out with. Can I just say, if it's not of God, then it's not of God. Yeah. It's that simple. Now, I'm not asking us to be super religious. And it's like, no, we got to watch VeggieTales only. And we got to listen to worship song only. But what I'm saying is that if it's pulling you away from God, if it's pulling you away from worshiping the one true God, then maybe it's time to let it go. But you see, for Solomon, this was not the case. And although Solomon started off right, in the end, his many pagan wives made him worship many pagan gods. In fact, 1 Kings 11:4 tells us, "For when Solomon was old," this was in his twilight years, "his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father." And so as a result, the king with a divided heart leaves behind a divided kingdom. And so over the next centuries, we see Israel divided. Two nations, two kings. And so now Israel has got two nations. One is led by Rehoboam, who leads the southern part, which is Judah. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. And the other is Israel, northern kingdom, which is led by Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon. And from Jeroboam all the way to King Joash, which is in this text, idolatry plagued the tribe of Israel. There was other gods been worshipped. And so back to the text. So here in this context, in 2 Kings chapter 13, Israel is in battle with Syria. Joash is the king, and the prophet at the time is Elisha. Anybody know who Elisha is? Now, Elijah was the protege. He was the protege of prophet Elijah. So I get confused between Elisha and Elijah. And before Elijah gets taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, and we see this in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha, the apprentice at the time, asks his master, Elijah, I want a double portion of your anointing. And so it was done so. And so Elisha, throughout 2 Kings, he was a very powerful prophet. He was a very powerful prophet. He performed many miracles. In fact, he performed twice as much miracles as Elijah did because he had double portion. And he had given powerful insight. But here in this text, we see that Elisha is now in his twilight years. He's ill. He's sick. He's about to die. In fact, Elisha here is in his deathbed. But in this scripture, it highlights one last act for Elisha. One last act for Elisha before he goes. One last prophetic act. One last prophetic declaration. And that is to give victory to Israel. And so I want to unpack a few things with you guys between the interaction with King Joash and Prophet Elijah, and just some principles that we can learn and hopefully that will help us in our walk. Is that cool? Hopefully it will stir our faith the way it stirred mine. And we need to understand that when it comes to the promises and plans of God and receiving victory, we first need to, number one, position ourselves to hear the word of the Lord. We need to position ourselves to hear the word of the Lord. Verse 14 says this, when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, King Joash went to Elisha. King Joash went down to him. He went to the source of where the word of the Lord came from the prophet at the time. And although King Joash did not entirely live a life pleasing to God, he understood that when it comes to receiving victory, there is only one source, and that one source is God. And so he positioned himself to hear the word of the Lord. He positioned himself to hear what the prophet Elisha had to say. You see, Joash understood that whenever there's an issue, he knew exactly where to go. Whenever there was an issue, he knew exactly who to take it to. Can I ask us, do you know where to go when you're facing trials and tribulations? Do you run to the Father? Do you run to the book? Do you run to the Word of God? Or do you run to something else? Do you know where to go when tough times are in your face? When tough times are in your situation? When you're in a season of wilderness? Do you know where to go when you need a breakthrough? Do you know where to go when life feels a little bit overwhelming? See, Joash knew. He knew exactly where to go. He went to the word of the Lord. Can I encourage us, if we want to know the plans and the promises that God has for us, we need to position ourselves from where the plans and the promises come from. Said it again. If you want to know where the plans and the promises that God has for us, we need to position ourselves from where the plans and promises come from. We need to position ourselves in the presence of God. Are you positioning yourself in the presence of God? Let's be intentional with being intimate with God. You know, one of our kingdom culture values in this church in Yuma is that His presence is our priority. Can I just encourage us? Let's make His presence our priority. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us this, that if we seek God with all our heart, if we pursue Him with all that we are, with all that we have, then we will find Him. James 4:8 says that if we draw near to God, then He will draw near to us. You see, it's in the place of intimacy where we can discern God's voice. It's in the place of intimacy where we can receive clarity. It's in the place of intimacy where we encounter God's presence. It's in the place of intimacy where we get empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's in the place of intimacy where our faith gets stirred up. It's in the place of intimacy also where we get our spiritual sustenance. Matthew 4:4 says this, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Spending time in intimacy with the Lord is our spiritual sustenance. Another value that we have is God's word is our foundation. And the question that's attached to that is, what does God's word say about it? Can I just encourage us in every aspect, in every season, in every subject, let God's word have the first say. Let's let God's word have the first say. And let the promises of God, whatever it may be that he said to you, let it be tied and aligned with scripture. Let the promises of God be tied and aligned with scripture. So, to many of us, we say God said, and we do things, but really God didn't say. Maybe emotion said. Maybe circumstance said. And maybe situation said, you know? But the scripture didn't say, God didn't say. So can I just encourage us, whatever the word is, let it be tied and let it be aligned to scripture. Let's position ourselves to receive a word from the Lord. Live a life of intimacy. Is that cool? Yeah. Live a life of intimacy. And when we live a life of intimacy, we also live a fruitful life. John 15 tells us that when we abide in him, when we stay connected to him, when we stay in covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father, we bear fruits in our lives. Can I remind us, keep abiding, stay intimate, and position yourself. Is that cool? Yeah. And once we hear the word of the Lord, the next thing we need to do is we need to obey it. If we want our promises to be fulfilled, if we want these breakthroughs to happen, it's one thing to hear from the Lord, but it's another thing to actually obey it. Verse 15, and Elijah said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took the bow and arrows. He obeyed. He actioned. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. And he drew it. And Elijah laid his hands on the king's hand and he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot, and he shot. You see, it's in the place of intimacy where we can hear the word of the Lord, but it's in the place of obedience where we action the word of the Lord. It's in the place of intimacy where we can hear the word of the Lord, but it's in the place of obedience where we action the word of the Lord. When Elijah told Joash to take the bow and arrow and draw it, that is exactly what Joash did. Joash obeyed the word. I want to remind us that God moves through obedience. God moves through obedience. There is blessing in obedience. There is victory in obedience. There is breakthrough in obedience. We see it time and time and time again. We see it in Joshua. We see it in David. We see it in Gideon, that as they obeyed the word of the Lord and followed God's instruction to a T, we see them claim a victory. Time and time again, as they hear the word of the Lord and they follow God's instruction, they claim a victory. I want to encourage you that there is breakthrough in obedience. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but maybe you are one obedient step away from your victory. Maybe you're one obedient step away from your breakthrough. Maybe you're one obedient step away from your blessing. Sometimes we wait for our blessing. Sometimes we wait for our breakthroughs. And sometimes, you know, we could wait for, you know, days, weeks, months, years. But maybe, just maybe, God's waiting on our obedience. Can I ask you, church, what is it that God is asking you to obey? What is it that God is asking you obey to receive your breakthrough, to receive your blessing? Is it to forgive a friend? Is it to forgive a family member? Is it to stop a certain sin in your life? Is it to sacrifice something? Is it to give something up? Maybe God's asking you to join an usher team. We do need ushers. Or a production team. We need them too. Maybe God's asking you to volunteer. I don't know. What is God's asking you to obey? God can't do the next thing unless you obey the first thing. And can I just remind us, James 1:22 says, not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. It's one thing to hear and listen from the Lord and have those encounters, but another thing to actually obey it and action them out and walk it out. See, a lot of us, we do devotions, but we don't live a devoted life throughout the day. You know, we've got to be obedient to the word of God. There is blessing, there is breakthrough, there is victory in obedience. Amen. Not only that, but by Joash shooting the arrow, in those times, it was a symbolic act. And that symbolic act was a declaration of war. By Joash shooting the arrow into enemy territory, Joash, King Joash, was declaring war on his enemies. And I want to just encourage us today, church, maybe it's time for us to declare war on our enemies. Maybe it's time to expose some of the lies of the enemies that we've been hearing in our lives. It's time to wage war with the enemies with the truth of God's word. Maybe it's time to declare to the enemy that no longer you're going to touch my health. It's time to say to the enemy and wage war to the enemy, no longer you're going to touch my marriage. It's time to declare to the enemy, no longer you're going to touch my family. It's time to declare that to the enemy, no longer you're going to touch my church. No longer you're going to touch my community. It's time to declare war to the enemy. It's time to say, I rebuke the weapons of the enemy. I rebuke the plans of the enemy. I rebuke the schemes of the enemy. I rebuke the lies of the enemy. We need to start praising into the atmosphere, countering the enemy's lies. It's time to say, it's time to declare that God is my shepherd. God is my rock. God is my shield. We sang it before. God is my fortress. He's my refuge. God is my deliverer. God is my redeemer. God is my salvation. Amen. It's time to wage war. Throw the arrows into the enemy territory. It's time to shoot them arrows. Everybody say, let's shoot some arrows. Amen. So what do we know as the band comes up? Is this helping anybody, by the way? I hope so. Number one, we position ourselves to hear the word of the Lord. Number two, we action and we obey the word of the Lord. It's time to wage war on the enemy. And then thirdly, we need to trust the word of the Lord. Verse 17, it says this. Now open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot it. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria. So he told Elisha that the arrows represented victory. Victory was already in his hands. For you shall fight the Syrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times and stopped. Then a man of God was angry with him. And he said, you should have struck that five or six times, man. Then you would have struck down Syria for good. But because your faith was little, but because you didn't trust in the word, you will only strike them three times. You see, unfortunately, for King Joash, he did not trust the word of the Lord. He did not have enough faith. Elisha told him that the arrows represented victory. You see, victory was already given to Joash. It's in his hands. Victory was in his hands. It was for his taking. God said, God will give us the victory, but it's up to us to strike the ground. We got to partner with what God is doing. God will give us the victory, but it's up to us to strike the ground. And after being told, Joash only struck 3 times. And Elisha was mad because Joash could have won the battle. Not just won the battle, but won the whole war. Saying, you should have struck 5 or 6 times and you would have made an end of them. But instead, you will only win the battle 3 times. You see, his limited faith gave him limited victory. His limited faith gave him limited victory. Can I encourage you, church? Don't stop at 3. Don't stop at 3. Keep going. Keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep pursuing on what God has for you. Don't stop at 3. Keep chasing after the promises and victories that God has for you. Don't stop at 3. Keep seeking God. Keep making Him the center of your life. Keep worshiping Him. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep worship. Keep praising. Even in the midst of a wilderness season, don't stop at 3. Don't stop at 3. Keep consecrating yourself. Keep setting yourself apart. Don't stop at 3. It's time to declare war on the enemy. It's time to fight the enemy. It's time to rebuke the enemy. Don't stop at 3. Stay steadfast. Stay consistent. Stay committed. Stay dedicated. Yes, I know it's tired. I know it's wearisome. But keep going. Don't stop at 3. God has given you the victory already. Don't lose hope just because we don't see the results. Don't lose hope because we don't see the outcome. Don't stop at 3. Keep striking the ground even if we don't see the result. Keep striking the ground even if we look foolish. Even if we look foolish, even if we look silly or dumb. Some people may say, why are you doing that? Why are you going to Numa School of the Spirit? Or why are you quitting your job for this? Da, da, da. If God said it, that settles it. If God says it, that settles it. Don't stop at 3. Even if you're doing it alone, don't stop at 3. Even if it's hard, don't stop at 3. Even if it looks impossible, it's like, how is God actually gonna do? How is God actually gonna move here? How is this actually gonna happen? Can I just encourage us? His ways is higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't comprehend what God like knows. So if God says it, just trust the word. Trust the word of the Lord. Trust the word of the Lord. Don't stop striking until you see it happen. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God's word will never come back empty. It will never come back void, but it will be successful in which He sent it. It will succeed in which He purposed it for. Don't stop at 3. Don't stop striking. Come on, church, say it with me. I won't stop at 3. I won't stop striking. I'ma stir my faith. Because if God says it, then that settles it. Don't stop at 3. Keep striking. You see, I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary in doing good. That should encourage you right now. Let us not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. For in due season, come on now, we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not give up. I know sometimes life can look like it's winter and the trees are there, there's no leaves on the trees. But what's after winter? That's where the flowers bloom. That's where the leaves come out. That's when the fruits start to come out. Trust the word of the Lord. Trust the word of the Lord. You see, your faith today will impact how God moves for you tomorrow. I want to encourage us, it's time to increase our faith. It's time for us to increase our faith. You see, Jesus never rebuked his followers for having too much faith. Hello. Jesus never rebuked his followers for having too much faith. He rebuked his followers for having too little faith. In fact, when you have too much faith, like the centurion, Jesus was marveled. He was impressed. I want to encourage us, when we live a life where we are so high in faith and high expectation, it releases the unlimited power of God. It releases it because we live in high faith. And so can I encourage you, strike the ground, claim your territory. Amen. Why don't we pray? Stand up. Let's stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. In a moment, we're going to open up the altars. If there's some things in your life that you're going to claim for, I want you to come forward. I want you to step out in faith. If there's things that you need to wage war on, I need you to step out in faith and come to the front. It's time to declare war on the enemy. It's time to strike the ground more than three times. It's time to claim your promises, your victories, your breakthrough. It's time to get close with God. It's time to keep pursuing. It's time to increase your faith. Is that cool, church? Yes. Whose faith was stirred? I don't know about you, but my faith was stirred. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord God, that our victory is with you. And so, Lord God, we run to the Father. We run to you, Jesus. And Father, we say thank you for giving us the victory. We thank you that we are already victorious because you have conquered the cross. And Lord, right now, let us have faith. Increase our faith, God. If we can have faith for our salvation, then we can have faith for our breakthrough. If we can have faith for our salvation, then we can have faith for our victories. If we can have faith for our salvation, then we can have faith for our blessings. Lord, increase our faith right now, Father. And Lord, we give to you our situation. We give to you our circumstance. We give to you our season. And Lord, we say, have your way. Lord, we want to hear your word. We want to obey your word and we want to trust your word. And Lord, give us the strength and the courage and the faith to not stop striking the ground at three. Give us the strength, oh God, to keep striking, oh Lord. And so, Father, we give this to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, why don't we give God some praise as we worship?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.